Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and today my co-host is Brian Bosick. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Glad to be here today.
Yes. So we have a good topic, an important topic to tackle today, because unfortunately, the workplace is not immune to racism. And one of the most common ways to witness racism is in the form of microaggressions. So microaggressions are incidents in which someone accidentally, maybe purposely, hopefully accidentally, makes an offensive statement or asks even just an insensitive question. Microaggressions are defined as verbal, behavioral, and environmental indignities that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative racial slights and insults to the target person or group. So, Brian, can you think of some ways that this might come up in the workplace, these little microaggressions?
You bet. Let's maybe talk about three examples.
Yeah.
Just to get us started, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay. So the first one, if you hear someone say that they're colorblind, which I think we do hear a fair amount,
yes.
But that signals to a person that they don't acknowledge their skin color or won't hold it against them. So a second example might be if somebody said, well, we're all one race, the human race. Which implies we all go through the same experiences, regardless of race, regardless of our background. And so that would be another thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the third thing that comes to mind is, let's take this one, that we're always asking the same person to coordinate lunch, to make copies, et cetera, even when it's not their role, just because there's an assumption that you've created that that's what this person should do.
Yeah. Interesting. So, right. When you take these kind of on their face, especially as a white person, it might be easy to be like, well, yeah, of course I don't, you know, treat people differently because of the color of their skin. But we just know historically, systemically, all institutionally, these things, it's just not true. People are treated differently. So saying some of these things or treating someone in this way, even if it's not intentional, still is something that needs to be fixed.
Absolutely. And we're excited to be able to talk to you just about A, your awareness building, if you do see these things, and B, what you can do.
Yes, so that's a big thing, right?
It really is.
What can we do about this? Yes.
And so we're going to talk to, if you are a bystander, if you see this happening, we just want to give you some examples to help you say, well, what can I do in that moment? So you yourself don't feel paralyzed and walk away wondering, what should I have done?
Exactly. And, you know, I think sometimes the biggest worry from people who witness a microaggression is that they don't want to make things worse. They think if I intervene in some way, I'm just going to make it worse. These people know each other somehow. I shouldn't, you know, get in the way. But yeah, as you were saying, like thinking about some of the techniques that we might use beforehand can help you to be more comfortable, more able to step in, more confident in your ability to do that. So we're going to talk about five techniques that you can consider when deciding how you might want to intervene in any sort of these types of situations.
And I think for both of us, it's important before we get started to acknowledge our own privilege, because as we talk about this, we are coming from certain areas of privilege and background. So Megan and I are white. I'm a cis man. You may not feeling for yourself, you might not feel comfortable intervening in certain situations based on your race, your gender, sexuality, or other identities you have. And we want to acknowledge that and encourage you to stay safe during those situations. So if that's something that you're aware of, again, think about safety and also then think about some of these tips and how you may intervene later if it's not in the moment.
Absolutely. And I think it's so situational, right? And in some situations, yeah, there, you might have some safety. But yeah, evaluating your surroundings and environment, I think, is pretty key to that, depending on kind of where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. So thanks so much for mentioning that, Brian. Do you want to get us started with the first technique?
I sure can. So we're going to talk about five different techniques. And the first one we're going to talk about is distraction. And so, for example, this is one where, let's say you come into your office and you see two people talking and you realize that what you're hearing is one person is committing a microaggression and another person is the recipient of that. The key of the technique of distraction is basically for yourself, you jump in there and maybe you change the subject, right? So you come into that conversation and you throw a question that takes the person who's committing the microaggression off topic,
and
in a way
forces
to kind
them
of
re- to just change gears completely.
Exactly. Yep. Redirect the conversation. Yep. If it's not something you can do verbally, you might even think about like a physical distraction you could cause. So you've spilled your water, you've bumped the table.
Yes. Oops.
Yep. You know,
so
you've dropped
sorry.
All your papers.
I'm so clumsy.
Yes. Which I think most of us don't have to fake. Right. So
yeah,
we can
exactly.
do that. The key point is, so after you've done that distraction, when the conversations die down, check in with the person who experienced that microaggression. See if they're okay. Because at that point, you may have created that distraction just to stop it and then also check in a little bit later.
Yes, absolutely. I think that check-in is pretty key.
Absolutely.
There as well. Good. Okay. So the second one is delegate. And you might be noticing a theme that I don't think we pointed out. All of these techniques start with a D.
We didn't say that yet, did we?
We didn't
yes,
say
they're
that.
The five Ds.
Right?
Yes.
And so maybe that is also, you know, just another way to kind of remember these things. And when you kind of, I mean, I guess for me,
yeah.
if you step into something that feels tense and you can sense from the person who's, you know, on the receiving end of that microaggression, yeah, it's really easy to kind of forget everything and want to just walk away.
Absolutely.
Right? So yeah, maybe the five Ds can be helpful here. Good. So if you see a microaggression, the delegate strategy would be, is there someone with more power that you can tap in? So, hey, Marsha, I know you know Daniel well. Maybe you want to check in on him because of blank. So you notice something. And maybe you didn't feel comfortable or weren't able to step in because of the power dynamic or something that was going on. I think it absolutely then makes sense to, yeah, maybe go to someone else in the office or in another office, someone who maybe knows both of the parties and can step in. Maybe that's even human resources. That should be a pretty neutral party that should have some knowledge about how to help someone. So, yeah, delegating that to someone else, like don't always feel that it has to be all on you to make this better. You're making it better maybe by pulling in someone who has a little more power.
Excellent. Great, great point. And our third technique is document. So let's say that you're online in a classroom chat and you see something that is said that is harmful, that is hurtful, that's a microaggression. Take a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Save that.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into the middle of a conversation where a microaggression is occurring, after you leave, write it down. So you've got in your mind while it's fresh, and then give it to the person who experienced that. Say, hey, I want to let you know I took a record of this.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing to think about with document is it's something that we often use in conjunction with a lot of the other D's, right? So it might be delay, and then you talk to somebody, and then you've got the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our third technique. That is document.
Right. And that's, I mean, documentation is powerful.
It is. To have a record and just to, I think sometimes we forget.
Mm-hmm.
And to really see how many times something happened.
Right.
Or
and
what
just,
happened.
I mean, how I can see if I was the person who had the microaggression committed against me to have somebody say, hey, I snapped a screenshot of that. That comment in the chat wasn't cool.
Absolutely.
They should not have said that. What can we do to make this better? I snapped that screenshot just to make sure we all remembered exactly what was said. So yeah, I think it definitely is a way of giving some power back.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. So that was the document.
That was our document technique.
Awesome. So let's move on to number four, which is delay. So once the incident is over, as we've kind of mentioned, really good to check in with that person. You know, just a simple, I saw what happened. Can we figure out a way to help you navigate this situation? I'm here to help. Right? Maybe that person doesn't want help and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But if they're open to it, if you ask the question, do you need anything? You know, maybe throw out, you want to go grab a coffee a minute? Or can
Absolutely.
We just take a walk around the building and get some fresh air? Even if you don't, I mean, it's not like you need to go and necessarily rehash everything, but sometimes it's just like, okay, we can delay this. We can take a deep breath. And then give it some time and space for that person to hopefully start feeling a little better and maybe then put together some sort of a plan for what to do.
Yeah. And just to decompress, right? Talk it over and see what comes up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good. Good. Okay. So that was delay.
All right. And for our fifth and final technique is to be direct. So this may be a situation where you are in a conversation and it is getting, it's getting very uncomfortable. And you could take the direct route where you say, you know, stereotypes like that, they don't belong here. Let's change the question. Right. Just really calling out what you see in order to stop what is becoming really difficult and hurtful. Mm-hmm. The other part about being direct is if somebody else jumps in before and says something, here's your opportunity to support them. Like, hey, I agree with that. Let's move on. Right. This isn't appropriate. Let's change the question.
Yes. And sometimes that directness, I think for the person who maybe is committing that microaggression, it might just kind of snap them out of it, especially if they didn't know that they were doing something that was harmful or hurtful to someone else. That might just be like, oh, yeah. Let's, you know, talk about something else or move on to something else.
That's a really good point because it brings it right to the forefront.
Exactly.
And yeah, absolutely.
Directness is always a good strategy, but maybe not everybody feels as comfortable being direct, right? So that's why you also have the other four D's to kind of rely on as well for what fits your style of how you might want to intervene as a bystander.
Exactly. Or like you said, if somebody else is direct, support that, right?
Yes.
That's your chance to kind of jump in, gain the momentum, make a difference, and then test out what works for you.
You all become a team together to help.
I like that. Yes.
Good. So, okay.
So that was number five. That was be direct.
Be direct. Awesome. Okay. So we've covered the five techniques: distract, delegate, document, delay, and direct. So Brian, I'm going to throw it over to you. Of those five, which do you think you'd feel the most comfortable doing?
Probably a combination of two.
Good.
So I was going to say, I don't think it's just one. So a combination of two. Just knowing like myself and my style, I would probably focus a little bit more on distract and delay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I usually like to do is when I've seen these things happen is check in a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless it's something where I feel like I need to be direct right away,
mm-hmm.
But usually it's distract and delay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how about yourself, Megan?
You know, I'm going to be boring and choose the same ones, Brian.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because, yeah, I think they would feel the most natural to me. I'm really good at distracting people because I have little people who live in my house.
Yes.
And when they're like having a tantrum or something, you just need to distract them and they stop doing that. So I can apply that to someone who's committing a microaggression. We can like distract.
And it works really
well.
Do
something else. And it works.
It does. It totally does. That's awesome. And you'll probably find like over time that you use a combination of these five.
Right.
Right? Like, so in certain situations you
Absolutely.
Find that these two are the prime ones. With family and friends, something else might be the main
one. Totally.
So,
yeah, I think that's a good point. So yeah, we've been focusing a little bit more on kind of the context of what might happen in the workplace. But yeah, what are some of the other spaces and places where microaggressions might come up where it would make sense to intervene?
You bet. You know, I think two come to mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this might be one of those things where let's say it's you're out to eat with someone you know, let's as a student, you're eating, let's say at, I suddenly blanked on Panda
Fresh.
Express, fresh Panda food, Ex- thank you. Right. And you hear a conversation.
It's been a long time since we've all been on campus.
It has been. But you're at Panda or you're at Fresh Food and you're at a table and you hear this happen.
Yeah.
And so knowing that in that moment, you can do one of these techniques too.
Mm-hmm.
And this might also be something you notice, let's say off campus when you're with family.
Yep.
Right. And thinking about, well, how do I feel comfortable intervening with family?
Yes.
And sometimes that can even be more complicated because your relationship is already there.
Yes.
So if you,
there are so many layers with family and family dynamics, and you know so much maybe about the person who's committing the microaggression, but you want to stick up for the cousin or
that's
the
right.
person in your family who, yeah,
yeah,
isn't going to be feeling too great from the comments.
And we would just encourage you in that moment to try one, try whatever, and you know, try. And if it doesn't go perfect, that's okay, right?
That's
you've got a lot in your toolbox to pull from.
Yes.
And so just hold on to one of them, jump in, see how it goes, and you
yes.
can always follow up.
Yeah.
So as you all hear this, think about definitely school, definitely work, but also you might find many applications for this in all areas
right.
of your
the
life.
The classroom, I think.
Exactly.
Right. Like, oh my goodness. There are so many opportunities when, especially around certain topics. Yes. You know, you're in a sociology class or a psych class or even something in healthcare. I could just see that there's so many topics where the discussion in the classroom could get heated. People might say things that could, yeah, really be hurtful to certain groups.
Absolutely.
Certain people. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah, I think we've covered our five D's. One final topic we want to touch on before we wrap up today is to acknowledge that you might find yourself committing a microaggression or being accused of one, right? And if that's the case, we recommend that you focus on your impact, not your intent. So you might think, oh my gosh, I definitely did not mean to hurt you when I said that. But if my words hurt you, that's what matters. So you always want to be seeking to listen and understand, believe your colleagues of color, believe your colleagues who are members of the LGBTQ community, right? Any of these groups that really take the brunt of these microaggressions, and a sincere apology really can go a long way, right? So don't dwell, but apologize. Move on, do better the next time.
Yeah, and I would add that it's important to keep from getting defensive. And that can be hard sometimes when somebody brings something up, as you mentioned, Megan, that you didn't mean to. But again, right. Assessing your impact.
Right. Because as humans, we're like, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't. That was not what I meant.
Exactly.
Yes. And you kind of feel like your back's up against the wall.
And on on the full kind of picture of that, it often takes a lot of courage to speak up. So, you know, think about, as we're talking about our five D's, because it's hard to speak up. If someone speaks up to you, respect that courage, respect what they said,
right,
and take their feedback in.
Exactly. Believe them.
Exactly.
Believe that their feelings are true and real. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great. Good. Okay. Well, thanks. I think that's, you know, pretty much how we'll wrap up today's podcast. We will certainly leave some resources in the show notes. We have a link to a free bystander intervention training through I Hollow Back, which I know some of the colleagues in our office have done that, and it's a good one. So check that out if you want to learn more. Yeah, don't forget to subscribe to our channel. We can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream your content. So yeah, by subscribing, you can keep hearing from us, hearing our voices. We would love for you to keep joining us. So anything else for the good of the podcast today, Brian?
I don't think so. Thank you for listening today, and we hope that some of the tips that we've provided help you in all the different situations you may encounter this.
Yes, absolutely. Great. Well, thanks everyone. And we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.